Grace Point family, I am so grateful that you have joined us today for our online worship experience. We have prayed, we've prepared, we've planned, done our very best, and we believe that this experience today is going to be very meaningful for all of us. Before we dive into the music, the message, scripture, talking about next steps for our in-person gatherings, I want to invite you just to pause with me and reflect on some of the events that have occurred in our nation over the last couple of weeks. And then I want to ask you just to join me in prayer. This is such a unique time in history, and we are being reminded over and over and over again about the true brokenness of our world. Like everybody in our Grace Point family, I cannot even begin to wrap my brain around the cruelty that took the life of George Floyd in Minneapolis. I've tried to put words to my thoughts and to my feelings, but no words truly seem adequate. It was bottom line horrific. It was evil. Now, we've been living through these days of a pandemic, and many folks have said that this world has been broken by a biological virus. But the events in Minneapolis and then some subsequent events are reminding us that the most destructive force in the world is not a biological virus, it is the virus of evil that corrupts the human soul. I'm a Christ follower. Many of you are Christ followers. And so we believe that the foundational answer to the virus of evil, the virus of the soul, is the love, grace, and truth of Jesus Christ. As followers of Him, we are called to live out this love, this grace, this truth every single day with everyone. And living out this love, this grace, this hope, this truth is not about just talking about it in our worship gatherings. It's not just studying a book together so we can learn more. Really living this out in our daily lives is determining that we are going to listen, that we are going to learn, that we are going to respect the feelings of others, that we are going to ask the Holy Spirit of God to root out any seed of racism or prejudice that exists in our heart. Living out what Jesus calls us to means that you and I are going to ask God for courage to be people of reconciliation and people of peace with everyone, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their language, regardless of their economic status. It means that we are going to ask for courage to step up and to be counted when a brother or sister is having the life and breath squeezed out of them. We need God's help to be people who are a part of the answer to the problem. And I want to ask you if you would just make this very, very personal in your own heart and in your own life. Because the answer comes as you and I as individuals allow Jesus to transform us so we can be a transforming presence in the world around us. Those of you that are a part of Grace Point and have been for a while know that we've had this phrase we've used for the last 20 years. We have said often, everyone is welcome at the table. It's a great phrase. It reminds us that everyone is welcome to experience the grace and truth and love and hope of Jesus. And once in a while, somebody comes up and says to me, Wes, how can you be sure that everyone is welcome? And it's really simple, because Jesus reminded us that God loved the world so much that He gave His Son. And that whoever believes on Him, whoever believes on Him, need not perish, but can experience eternal life. I hope that you, in your life every day, will be a person that can live out the truth, everyone is welcome to the table. And with God's help, we want to live it out as a church. So would you just pray with me, asking for God's help, for God's healing, for God's direction and power in this season of our life? Let's pray together. So God, our hearts break when we think about the evil that we have witnessed on our televisions and over the internet regarding the life of George Floyd and it being taken from him. God, we know that it breaks your heart, and we pray that there would be comfort for his family, that there would be comfort for people who have experienced the sting of racism and prejudice. And God, we pray that there would be justice served, and we pray that there would be healing in the hearts of people who have been so deeply wounded by yet another instance of horrific prejudice. God, we pray that you would help us not just to look at others aghast, but that we would let your Spirit do a search of our own hearts and our own souls, and that with your help, we would root out any of those feelings of prejudice or racism that might live deep down inside of us. And we pray that you would help us to stand up and be counted as someone who truly, truly believes your truth, your grace, your love, that it transforms us, and that you want to use us and your word to transform culture around us. So help us, Father, to be a part of your answer, part of the reconciliation that can happen. And we pray and ask for your help and for your strength in this and in our lives every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we wrap up our series, How to Get Through What You're Going Through, we come to some words in Scripture today that talk about what to do while we are waiting to get through what we're going through. We all know that waiting has taken a whole new meaning over the last few weeks and months of our lives. It seems like every single day we are waiting on something. We're waiting on packages to arrive, or we're waiting on test results, or waiting for unemployment to come through, or for government mandates to be lifted. It just seems like waiting has been a part of every single day during this pandemic. And honestly, our waiting is not over, because even when life returns to what we would consider a little more normal, we all know waiting is a part of existing on this planet. We wait in lines, we wait on the phone, there's just waiting that happens. But I want to remind you, according to what Scripture says, we're not the first people that have struggled with waiting. The people living in the decades following Christ's death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, and his ascension to heaven, they knew that Jesus had promised to return and set things right in the world. So they waited every single day with anticipation that maybe this is the day that Christ is going to return and fulfill his promise. They learned how to live waiting. But as years went by, I mean, they had had the impression that Christ would return maybe in days or weeks or months. As years went by, they became frustrated and some of them disillusioned, and many of them began to wonder if Christ really was going to return. Could they really believe his promise? Because they realized that there were fellow Christ followers around them that were being persecuted for their faith, and some of them were even being killed. They struggled with how to live while they were waiting to get through what they were going through. Now, I know our circumstances are very different today than they were in 50 AD. But we can relate to some of the feelings that these people experienced. We can relate to this anticipation that God is going to get us through what we're going through. He's going to get us to the other side of this. And I suspect that we can relate to some feelings of disillusionment, feelings of frustration, that maybe God is not going to do this on our timetable, and that it's not going to look exactly like we want it to look. We want to snap our fingers and get through what we're going through right now. We struggle with what to do while we are waiting. I have found myself at various times in life saying, okay, God, I know what you've said and I know what you've promised, so what are you waiting for? And whenever those thoughts come to my mind, I eventually work through that issue and wind up coming to this question, so what am I supposed to do while I'm waiting for God to get me through what I'm going through? James, this biblical writer that we've been looking at over the last few weeks, he ends his letter to the New Testament church by talking about what to do while we are waiting for God to get us through what we are going through. We know that he has been writing this whole letter with trademark honesty and raw intensity, and he does the very same thing in his concluding words. So I want to invite you to look at James chapter 5 with me, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 20 in this closing section of this letter. But I'd love for you to start by looking at James' opening words as he begins to wrap up all of his thoughts to these Christ followers and thoughts that are very relevant to our life today. Look at James chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains to fall in the spring and in the fall. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." Let me just say to you that I think James is challenging us to, while we're waiting, to be actively patient. Actively patient. Now, sometimes we think patience is something that is passive, or a do-nothing spirit, or a passionless life. But James says that's not the case. He says that we are to wait being active, and he calls our attention to a farmer. And he reminds us that farmers, while they are waiting for a harvest, they are also preparing the soil and planting the seed. They're fertilizing. They're looking forward to rain and different weather conditions. They're making sure weeds don't overtake the plants that they're trying to grow. All of the tasks, all of the responsibilities that a farmer does are done in anticipation of a valuable harvest. All of their daily activity is done with the harvest always in view. And a farmer knows that while the harvest is in view, you can't rush the harvest. And we can't rush God's plan. James says you need to do what you're supposed to be doing. You need to live out active patience while you're waiting, but you can't rush the harvest. It doesn't matter how hard you pray or how hard you beg, you cannot rush the harvest. And so he says, live every day with daily faithfulness. Keep the harvest in view, but do it faithfully every day. Now, we all agree that thinking about tomorrow is exciting. We can't wait to get through what we're going through. But anticipating tomorrow without taking the opportunity of today, without being faithful today, sets us up for ultimate heartache. The way we're living today is preparing us for tomorrow. And James says, actively be patient and take courage, because God's going to get you through what you're going through. He says to these New Testament believers, Christ is going to return, so be actively patient and do it with great courage. That really sets us up for everything else that James says about what to do while we are waiting. As we are courageously living with active patience, James begins to point out how this is going to look in our lives. Verse 9 of James chapter 5, he says, "Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door." He says, what we're going through is going to be done soon. Christ is going to return. The ultimate judge is going to return. And so he says, don't live actively patient by being a person who is divisive or grumble. In fact, he says, refuse to do that. Refuse to be divisive. Refuse to grumble. Whenever we are facing adversity in our life that's coming from the outside, whenever we are facing challenges on the exterior of life, if we are not careful, it can easily be a problem that's transferred to the inside of life. And whenever we allow the exterior problems to contaminate the inside of our life, it ultimately leads to conflict and frustration in our relationships with others. James says, I know that what you're going through is challenging. I know it's tough. But don't allow these outside influences and these outside factors, don't allow, in their case, this persecution, don't allow that to cause problems in your soul that eventually create conflict with each other. Don't allow yourself to descend into divisive spirits or grumbling. Now, there's a lot more that we could say about that for sure. But you understand. You know what it's like to grumble, and you know what it takes to refuse to do it. It takes God's help. James moves on, and if you look in verses 10 and 11 with me, he adds another thought about what it looks like to live with courage, actively being patient. He says, for examples of patience in suffering, this is verse 10, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to these who endure suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man who had great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. James says, as you live waiting to get through what you're going through, be encouraged by the endurance of others. And James mentions the prophets of the Old Testament to his first century readers. And they would have immediately thought of people like Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Zechariah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, and many, many others. They knew about these incredible men and women of God. And if you'd like some insight into some of their stories, you could flip a few pages in your Bible or go in your Bible app to the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, the writer talks about some of these amazing stories of faith. He says, we can talk about the stories of men like Gideon and Samson, Japheth, David and Solomon and all of the prophets. He says, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice. They received what God had promised to them. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire. They escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. He says women received back their loved ones from death. But then the writer of Hebrews is very honest when he says there's another group of people. There were others, he says, who were tortured, but they refused to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. He says, verse 36 of Hebrews 11, some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips, and others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. The writer says they were too good for this world. Yet all of these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. James says, you ought to remember these people who endured. Some of them experienced amazing victory. Others didn't experience victory until they got home to heaven. But they stayed true to their faith. And James says, let that encourage you. Let it inspire you. If others endured, you can too. You can get through what you're going through with God's help. James mentions very specifically a guy named Job. And many of us are familiar with Job. What an amazing yet terrifying life. Many of you know his story, but let me just recap it for you in a few phrases. Job endured loss like few people ever have. His home, destroyed. His family, perished. His health, ruined. His finances wiped out. His friends accused him of having a horrible reputation and bringing all of this on himself. Job literally lost everything and everyone. but he refused to curse God. He refused to forsake God. And ultimately, we're told at the last phrases of verse 11 in James chapter 5, we're told that Job discovered that God is full of tenderness and mercy. Job had great endurance, the writer says, and you can see how the Lord was kind to Job, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. That truth about God is a discovery that every single one of us will make if we just continue to follow God. For a Christ follower, we know there are going to be challenges in this life. There are going to be moments when our endurance is tested. There are going to be times when we're going to wonder if we really are going to get through what we're going through. But in the end, we always find that God is full of tenderness and mercy. How do we continue to live faithfully when circumstances are bleak? How do we continue to follow and be actively patient with courage when it seems that God is not living up to His promise? We remember who God is. He's a God of tenderness and mercy. When you and I are in the middle of an endurance test, when you and I are in the middle of a challenge where we wonder if we're going to make it through, in the middle of our waiting, the evil one, Satan, always wants to corrupt and color our image and view of God. He wants us to be deceived into thinking that God has forgotten us, or God is angry with us, that He's uncaring, unconcerned, or just out of touch with our need. The writer of James reminds us that we have to come back to the truth that God is one who can be trusted, that God is one who is faithful, that God's character is tenderness and mercy and kindness. And when we struggle sometimes with our trust, we don't base it on what we are experiencing at the moment. We base our trust, our active patience with courage, we base it on a God whose character is one of tenderness and mercy. In light of this God being faithful to us, James continues to talk about what to do while we're waiting, and he says that we should be faithful. If you look at verse 12, and you can read it on your own, he says you don't need to use all sorts of oaths, and you don't need to swear by this or that or the other thing. He said, let your word be your bond. Let your word be good. Be a person who is filled with truth and integrity. Follow through on your promises. Follow through on your commitments. Be faithful. In verses 13 through 18, James talks about us being people who pray in every circumstance. Let's read part of that section together. If you look at verse 13, James says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church and have them come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed sin, they'll be forgiven. And it's almost as if James then says, and speaking of sin, verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you can be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And he reminds us of a prophet named Elijah, who was a man just like we are. Just like we are in our humanity. And yet, when he prayed, God answered in a powerful way. You can read it in James chapter 5. James says, as you are waiting to get through, as you are waiting for God to fulfill His promise, as you're waiting for God to answer your prayer, he says, make sure that you continue to pray through every circumstance. If you're facing hardship, if you are celebrating, if you are sick, if you're struggling with sin, James says you ought to pray. Now, many of you have been with us every single week, and you know that at the very beginning of James' letter, he challenged his readers to pray for wisdom. And now he comes back at the end of his letter, and challenges us to be people who pray in every circumstance and every season of life. James ends where he began, by telling us that we should make prayer a powerful, continuous rhythm of life. It ought to be a continuous conversation. Our communicating with our God ought to be as natural as our heart beating. James says, in every circumstance, you ought to pray. He says, you ought to pray when you're sick. You ought to ask others, leaders in the church, they ought to come and pray with you. He uses the symbol of oil there. And just for clarification, let me help you understand a bit about the culture then. In that culture, olive oil was used for healing physically, as well as a symbol of God's presence and God's Spirit and God's healing power. And so James says, you ought to have yourself anointed with oil. And he's using it as a spiritual symbol. And he's using it as a medical symbol. He says, you need medical attention. You also need spiritual attention. And God can bring healing through either of these. He can heal instantaneously through His power alone, or He can use medicine and doctors and medical people to help us. James says, if you pray, God will answer the prayer. Sometimes God answers a prayer for healing instantly. Sometimes He uses medicine and medical procedures. Sometimes healing doesn't come until we get home to heaven. But James says God answers our prayers. And he illustrates the kind of prayers that God answers by reminding us of a guy named Elijah. And he says, you need to know that Elijah was a human being just like all of you. He was every bit as human as we are. He was inconsistent sometimes. He was imperfect. Yet he was forgiven. And he prayed with faith and zeal and intensity. And God answered his prayer. And James says, you ought to pray in every circumstance of your life. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to, every time you step up to the plate, hit a home run. You just have to trust God, have faith in Him, and follow His truth and His word in your life, and you'll know when and how to pray. Pray in every circumstance. James wraps up this section about what to do while we're waiting by talking about the fact that you and I should never give up on each other. Never give up on each other. He talks about people who are struggling in their faith, maybe have even wandered away. And you and I know people who are struggling. We know people who are questioning faith. We know people who've wandered away. Truth be told, maybe some of us are in that category ourselves. And James says, you can come back to Christ. You can help others. Don't give up on them. You can help them find their way back. And he says, when you do this, their soul is restored. Their sins are forgiven. He says there's really no place you can get in this life where the forgiveness of Jesus cannot reach you. I know there are times when we feel like we've gone as far as we can go and we're just going to give up on that person. We've prayed all we can pray and we just can't pray for them anymore. Or we can't keep reaching out to them. We can't extend grace one more time. We are done. And James reminds us not to give up. Forgiveness is still available. If you have been tempted to give up on somebody as we're getting through what we're going through, heed the words of James. Don't give up. Seek them out. Reach out to them. Love them. Pray for them. Have compassion on them. And help them find their way back to God. Forgiveness is always available. It's available for others. And friends, could I remind you that it's available to you and to me? We may have looked at this passage of Scripture today, and we may have felt some conviction from the Spirit of God saying, wow, I have messed up on multiple accounts. I have not done so well in getting through what I'm going through. Maybe you find yourself saying, you know what, I have not been actively patient. I have been frustrated. I have let fear take over sometimes instead of living with courage. I have descended into grumbling and being judgmental. I've let the outside stuff affect the interior of my life, and it's created conflict and heartache. Maybe some of us would say, you know what, I've lost sight of God's faithfulness in that. I've been so frustrated that God wasn't answering my prayer right when I wanted Him to, that I've kind of lost sight of God's faithfulness, and I've wavered in being faithful in my daily life. Maybe some of you say, you know what, I've found it to be easy to be preoccupied with all of the circumstances and details and have gone through days where I really didn't pray. I really didn't seek God's wisdom. I really didn't ask for His help. I want to remind you today that according to what James says, our God is a God of tenderness and mercy and kindness. And He offers us forgiveness where we've sinned. He offers us healing where there are hurts. He offers us what we need in our lives so that we can be transformed into fully devoted Christ followers who are living out His truth and His love and His grace in our world. So could I ask you today to open your heart, maybe in a new way, a fresh way, to what God wants to do? And could I ask you if you would be willing to live out this truth while you are waiting for God to get you through what you're going through? Would you pray with me? God, we're grateful for Your word. We're grateful for Your truth. We're thankful for Your Spirit that applies it to our life individually. And we pray that You would help us today to live out these words of truth while we are waiting for our prayers to be answered, for the promises You've made to be fulfilled, while we are waiting to get through what we're going through. God, help us to be faithful, to be actively patient, to live with courage. Help us to be people who are willing to, with Your help, refuse to grumble. God, help us to be people of prayer in every circumstance. And God, may we never give up on each other. May we keep loving, keep praying, keep reaching out. And together, may we experience the powerful work of Your Spirit in our lives. We pray and ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we hope that you will live this truth out in your life this week. We hope that you will take the opportunity to just sort of let it marinate in your heart and your mind. There are some questions that are going to be on the screen, and they will be in the comment section, and we want to encourage you to take a look at those, review them maybe with your family, think about how God might apply those to your life. Maybe you need to pray through them and ask God's Spirit to help you make His truth personal in your heart and in your life this week. If we can serve you, encourage you in your spiritual journey, it'd be our honor to do that. And you can communicate with us through Facebook, of course. You can do it by going to our website and filling out the connection form that's there. You can leave prayer requests and information for us. We would love to just cheer you on in your spiritual journey. I also want to give you a quick reminder of how our church is proceeding forward toward in-person worship gatherings at our campuses. Last week, we talked about the four plays that we are going to be running as a Grace Point family, and we talked about Grace Point at Home. You are doing that probably today, watching and experiencing the worship experience online. And we want to encourage you to continue to do that. Many of you are connected into groups, and so you're meeting now in person with your groups. And maybe you're watching the online experience together and then having discussion, or maybe you're in a Bible study. That's awesome. We want to encourage you to continue to be Grace Point in groups. And if you're not in a group, let us know, and we'll help you get connected. We are getting ready to begin running the play called Grace Point Connecting in Community. And so the Sunday, the 14th, as well as the 21st. We're going to invite you to watch the worship experience online and then come and be a part of just a takeout tailgate where you're going to bring your own food. You can get it at a restaurant or bring it from home. Bring food for you, for your family. Bring your lawn chairs, and we're going to just camp out here in the parking lot or in the yard under the shade trees at each of our campuses. And we're going to invite you just to share some time together, eating and talking and connecting with other folks who you have missed seeing during this stay-at-home time. So we're excited that the mandates are beginning to be lifted, and we want to invite you to be a part of the takeout tailgate events. And then the fourth play, which we are looking forward to running, is Grace Point Worship Experiences at our campuses. And we really anticipate over the next few days and weeks being able to share with you the beginning date for that play to be run. We're looking forward to it. We ask that you continue to pray that God will give us wisdom and help us get all of the logistical pieces in place. And we look forward to seeing you face to face very soon. Have a great week.